Life today has been described by many people as a wilderness experience, but what do they mean by that? Well, things are not the way that they have always been. The lush surroundings that we've grown so accustomed to in the Western world have been taken away, and the landscape is much more barren. COVID-19 has wreaked devastation on the world that we live in. Our children can't go to school, we can't go to work, our hospitals are at breaking point, our economy has been decimated, we can't visit family indoor. Friends and family have been affected personally and tragically. The list goes on and on. We live in a wilderness experience. These are not easy days for any of us to live in. But the question I have, and the question I want you to consider today as we look at God's word, is there any opportunities for us in the wilderness? Yes, there are plenty of challenges, and we acknowledge that ever so clearly, but are there any opportunities arriving from living in the wilderness? As we've seen in recent weeks, God met with Moses, Elijah, the children of Israel in the wilderness. As he molded them into the men and women throughout history as well in their wilderness experiences. For many, the wilderness has been a time of rest and refreshment for some. Amy Kerr-Michael has said this, bare heights of loneliness, a wilderness whose burning winds sweep over glowing sands. What are they to him? Even there he can refresh us. Even there he can renew us. So I want you to be encouraged today that even in the wilderness of these days, God can renew and refresh you and show you the opportunities around. As we come to John the Baptist today, we find him in the wilderness. And we find him seizing the opportunities that there are around him. And hopefully we can see some of the opportunities there are around us in the midst of this global pandemic. Firstly, I want us to see the opportunity to live differently. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. John the Baptist was certainly a unique character and figure in history. But what all do we know about him and why is it important? Well, rewind 30 years from this point, and he was born at a unique time about 6 months before Jesus. He was born as a unique person as well. He was related to Jesus, probably a cousin or second cousin. He was a miracle baby, a son of elderly parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were a daughter of Aaron, and Zechariah of priestly descent. He was a Nazarite. He was a unique person. And for 30 years, we hear almost nothing about him, other than over in Luke 1:80, where it says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. In lots of ways, John had 30 years of a wilderness experience where he grew up in the wild. And there, I believe, he encountered God. He was molded by God, and he was being prepared for what was to come in the wilderness we find him in today. It's another reminder for us today, isn't it? That God might be doing something in these days of our wilderness. That's in preparation of what is to come. God may also have been doing something in the past that has prepared us for these days that we are currently in. No life experience is wasted in the hands of God. He was born as a unique person at a unique time, and he was born in a unique place, and he was ministering in a unique place as well, in the wilderness of Judea, probably about 20 miles from Jerusalem. Then he is described in verse 4. John's clothes were made of camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and honey. He had a unique and a simple diet, hadn't he? He had wild locusts and honey. It was really the simple diet of the Old Testament prophets. And he had a unique and simple appearance as well. Clothes that were made of camel's hair and a leather belt. This was rough and ready clothing. One commentator has said that even his dress and food of John preached. So what caused him to be happy, to be different than those around him? What caused him not to follow the cultural or the religious trends of the day? Was it his wilderness experience? I believe so. Maybe our wilderness experiences will help us to not strive after the cultural trends or the religious trends of the day, of trying to be like others. When everything is stripped back, we realize what is really important and we begin to live for that. To John, it wasn't fancy food and fancy clothing. And throughout all of this, I'm sure that you see the similarities between John and Elijah, the dress code, the place of ministry, and also the message that he shared. John was the new Elijah that was prophesied to come. He is a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's very like the Old Testament prophets, and yet he is very like Jesus as well in his ministry and message. John was very different to those around him. And the wilderness experience he had growing up allowed him to encounter God and to grow in him. I wonder, in this wilderness experience of a global pandemic or a personal wilderness that you're also going through, is this an opportunity for us to live differently than those around us? All that we have read and studied in the past, is this a unique time to put it into practice to, as Christians, to live differently in our day and generation? Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is this an opportunity to do that? Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Is this an opportunity to show that? 1 Peter 2 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Is this a unique time to do that? Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Is this a unique time in history for us to live differently than those around us? What an opportunity we have to be different in our speech. What an opportunity we have to be different in what we hold value in. What an opportunity we have to be different online on social media. John was different ultimately because he pointed away from himself and towards Jesus. In his day and in our day, people want to point towards themselves, either wow is me or woe is me, but John says, no, it's not about me, it's about Christ. What an opportunity we have today to point away from ourselves and towards Christ. He must increase, I must decrease. John said, I'm unfit to carry his sandals. Imagine if our Facebook pages, if our WhatsApp groups, if our talk in the virtual staff rooms was always pointing away from ourselves and towards Christ. What an opportunity to be different. But secondly, there's also an opportunity to live missionally. There's an opportunity to live differently, but also one to live missionally. Verse 2 says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Verse 3 says, for this is the one who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, first calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. Verse 6 goes on to say, confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the River Jordan. John may have spent 30 years in relative obscureness, but he knew the call of God in his life. He knew that in the wilderness he had seen now an opportunity to fulfill the mission, to live missionally for God in his day and generation. And I'm not just talking about going out into the physical wilderness here. I'm talking about the spiritual wilderness into which John ministered. Heaven had been silent for 400 years. The Pharisees were oppressing the people through rules and regulations. The temple courts were full of the money changers. People were dismayed with their life and with Roman rule. All the time of the technological advances of their day and the amazing road networks. But I believe people were just wandering again in the spiritual wilderness. You say, Keith, why do you think that? Well, because the crowds came out to see him in verse 5 from Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region of Jordan. Some writers even estimate that the number of people who came out came into six figures, over 1 million people coming out to hear this message of John, this voice crying in the wilderness. So what opportunity did John seize in his wilderness? Well, it was an opportunity for him to get people ready for the coming of Jesus. He is the one that Isaiah prophesied about in verse 3, a voice crying out in the wilderness. Can you see the opportunity? Can you also see the urgency? Paul wanted people to be ready for the coming of Jesus. He was the forerunner to Jesus. He was the heralder crying out for people to be ready. His ministry from beginning to end was getting people ready for the coming of Jesus, pointing to Jesus all the time. What about the opportunities all around us today? Each day on our news, we hear and see the death tolls. Just this week, over 100,000 deaths in the UK due to coronavirus. Nearly 4 million around the world. Nearly 2,000 in Northern Ireland. Today, more than ever, people are talking about death. People are hearing the bad news of sin and destruction more than ever. The fragility of life is there for all to see and hear. Is this an opportunity to present the eternal hope of Jesus more even than ever? Is this an opportunity to serve people with acts of mercy that point away from ourselves and point towards Jesus? More than ever, statistics show that people have been tuning in to hear something of the Christian message. Doesn't this reveal the hunger that there is in the world out there to hear? John's in his mission as getting people ready for the first coming of Jesus. And isn't our mission, isn't our great commission to get people ready for the second coming of Jesus? Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming back. Is there an opportunity to tell people that and to tell people to be ready? Is there an urgency to go and to make disciples of all nations? We may not all be gospel preachers, but we're all called to be gospel sharers. I wonder who do you have an opportunity to share Jesus with in word and deed this week? Our mission doesn't have to be complicated. John's wasn't. He simply took people out, told them the truth, and baptized them. John's baptism, it isn't something that we're going to get into, but it was often a sign of baptism for the Gentiles into Judaism. But here he's calling Jews to be baptized to show their repentance of their old way of living and to turn to Jesus. The wilderness is an opportunity to live differently. It's an opportunity to live missionally. Thirdly and finally, I believe it's an opportunity to speak lovingly. It's often said that every preacher only really has one sermon, and that certainly seems to be the case for John the Baptist, doesn't it? John's message, as one commentator said, was as startling as his physical appearance. It was simply, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Very simple and clear. Repent. Change your mind. Change your attitude towards God. It will also change your actions towards God as well. It will bear fruit. Change how you live your life based on the new way of living. Do a complete 180-degree turn in your life. Change how we look at God as well as how we look at ourselves and our sins. Commentators helpfully show us that the prevalent sins of John's day were self-love and covetousness, all denounced as John called people to repent. You say, Keith, how is this John speaking lovingly? Calling people to repent. But because he is speaking the truth in love, because how the people respond really matters, not just for this life, but for the life to come. John spoke the truth to whoever would listen, despite the cost. And we're going to see he does that to the religious elite of his day, and he does that to Herod, one of the rulers of his day, and causes him to have to go to prison and ultimately causes him his head and his life. You say, Keith, should I just now go out and call everybody to repent? Well, I think there are some people who lovingly need to hear this message in these days, because it's a message that Jesus preached as well. Just over in Matthew 4:17, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus spoke more about God's judgment on hell than anybody else in the Bible. But just like Jesus, we need to be full of grace and truth. Jesus spoke words of grace like no one else. Think of the woman at the well. Think of the thief on the cross. Think of Peter after his denial and his restoration. Jesus perfectly speaks full of grace and truth in each conversation he had. And yet he addresses the Pharisees very different than he does the outcasts. And for you and I today, are there opportunities for us to speak lovingly of the gospel to those around us? Sometimes we're going to have to lead with grace and then bring in the truth. Other times we're going to have to lead with truth that points towards the grace. You see, John's message of repentance was loving. It's what the people needed to hear. It was full of truth, but it was also full of grace because it pointed to our most wonderful Savior in Jesus Christ. But who was this message for? It was for the masses, including the Gentiles, but it was for the Jews first, who had fallen far from grace, and it was also for the religious elite in the Jewish community. But who were they? Verse 7 tells us it was the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees were a cross between a religious group and a political party. The Pharisees are the traditionalists of the day, and the Sadducees were the liberal. But they came out to see what John was doing, coming to where he was baptizing. They came just to see what was happening rather than to be baptized themselves. And John addresses them lovingly, full of truth, and yet full of grace as well. He says to them, you brood of vipers. He's really saying, you are a poisonous influence on the community around you. And John exposes them. He says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance in verse 8. He says, your repentance should be seen in your lifestyle as well. Your religious beliefs should be seen outwardly. And do not think that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you, even these stones, God can raise up as children of Abraham. John is telling these religious elite lovingly, don't rely on your religious heritage. Don't rely on your family tree, because if that's the tree you're relying on, that tree is going to get cut down and thrown into the fire. Says, God doesn't have grandchildren. Make a decision for yourselves to repent. John's message is direct and clear. And it is loving because this is what the religious elite of the day needed to hear. Repent of your poisonous words and activities. Repent and let it be seen in your life. Repent and stop relying on your family heritage. You say, why is John so strong with them? Why could he not come out and support one of the parties in the political stances? Well, verses 10 to 12 show us that because the judgment is coming, the axe is already at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown. He is direct because the most important and loving thing to say, because judgment is coming. The axe is literally at the root of the tree, and if there's no fruit, it's going to be chopped down and thrown into the fire. He continues his judgment theme in verse 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John was lovingly warning people of a more devastating wilderness to come, a wilderness of fire and of judgment that there will be no escape from, full of truth and yet full of grace because it pointed towards a Savior who could save them from this eternal wilderness. And then the wilderness that we find ourselves in today with a global pandemic that has wreaked havoc. Should we thank God that there's still an opportunity for people to turn to Him? Maybe these days will cause people to consider their position before Him like never before. Maybe the opportunity is for us to speak lovingly to them, full of grace and truth. What is our message going to be in these days? Stay home, social distance, wash your hands. All very good and proper and right. But what about, would you like to read the Bible with me? Would you like to come to Christianity Explored? Would you like to talk about the hope I have in the face of death? This wilderness is a tough place for us all to be, but it's also a place full of opportunities. Maybe you're tuning in today, and it's an opportunity for you to hear what Christians believe about Jesus. Maybe you need to respond to Jesus for the first time. coming to him in repentance and faith, asking for his forgiveness that comes freely to you this morning. If you turn to him, it won't always be easy, but the axe of judgment and the winnowing and fork is replaced by a shepherd's staff that will lovingly embrace you and lead you home. Maybe you're listening today and you're relying on your parents' faith or on your Christian heritage until now, but you need to repent of that and turn for yourself to Christ this morning. Maybe you've gone astray in recent weeks, months, and years. There's not much fruit in your life. You've wandered far from God in a way that only you know. You're possibly even involved in our church, in this church, but you need to come afresh to God in repentance and to start living for him again. However you are, whatever situation you come from today, can I urge you not to waste your wilderness experience.